The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jim Cronin from the North Carolina Reading Service. This next hour, I shall be reading you from the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Okay, let's start off with something that's kind of important. Worried about falling? Here are five tips to avoid dangerous tumbles and other injuries. And there's a picture here of a woman practicing Tai Chi. Besides building strength, the exercise helps with their dynamic balance, staying upright while moving. Falls are the leading cause of fatal and non-fatal injuries among the elderly in the United States, leading to the deaths of at least 30,000 of them each year. And while I know many of my listeners aren't elderly, some of them are, so this is important. Weakness can increase fall risk. Many older adults may have lost muscle strength during the pandemic, some because of time spent in bed while sick with COVID-19, and others because their activity level dropped while staying at home to avoid exposure to the coronavirus. People are coming back to clinics with huge deficits due to stay-at-home orders, larger than we would expect due to aging alone, says Jennifer Stevens-Lapsey, professor of physical therapy and director of the Rehabilitation Science PhD program at the University of Colorado School of Medicine. Numerous other factors may also contribute to falls, including diminishing senses, which many of us have, certain medications, of course many of us are on that, and even inadequate hydration, which can trigger dizzying dips and blood pressure, and that's particularly important in this time of year when it's so hot. In my experience, many people who faint and fall are dehydrated, says Barbara White, executive director of the OSHA Lifelong Learning Institute at California State University at Long Beach. Being afraid of falling, especially if you have previously tumbled, can hike your fall risk, prompting you to change your gait in ways that can actually worsen your balance. Plus, the fear of falling decreases your willingness to move and be active and independent, says Stevens-Lapley says. The following steps can help you be more balanced. Attend to your environment. Throw rugs, poor lighting, and small animals who like to be underfoot can all increase the risk of falls at home. Reducing and managing such risk is a must. A pet may need retraining to better respond to voice commands. In addition, wear well-fitting, low-heeled, supportive shoes with non-slip soles, indoors as well as outside. One study published in 2010 in the Journal of Footwear Science found that wearing slippers or being shoeless more than doubled the risk of being seriously injured in a fall. Work on your strength. Leg and hip, gluteal muscles, are some of the more important muscles to strengthen, as well as the calves, says Stephen Lapsley. Those are the muscles that will help you catch yourself if you start to fall. If you need help, you might want to enroll in a strength program for older adults. Silver Sneakers, for instance, has online and in-person classes. Or work with a physical therapist or trainer with experience with older adults. For those of us who are at high risk for falls, sorry, I'm having trouble with my lips today, a fall prevention program may be useful. The National Council of Aging has a list of programs at the University of Colorado Anschutz Medical Campus Multidisciplinary Center on Aging's Fall Prevention Clinic. Benefits include exercise recommendations, a medication review, and advice on modifications to make to increase your home safety. Better your balance. When it comes to strength and balance, consider the mind-body exercises of Tai Chi. A systematic review and meta-analysis of 18 studies published in 2017 in the British Medical Journal found that Tai Chi significantly reduces fall risk in older adults. Besides building strength, Tai Chi helps with dynamic balance, your ability to stay upright while you're moving. With Tai Chi, you're not just standing statically, you're moving your legs through space and bending and twisting and turning, Stevens-Lapsley says. You can also increase dynamic balance with non-Tai Chi moves, such as walking in a serpentine or grapevine, crosses one leg in front of the other pattern, changing direction suddenly, turning around right or left, and walking backwards, Stevens-Lapsley says. Also, watch your meds. More than half of seniors take four or more prescription medications. I know I do. According to a 2019 Kaiser Family Foundation poll, this can increase the risk of drug interactions and side effects such as dizziness, foggy thinking, and low blood pressure. A study published in 2020 in the journal BMC Public Health found that people who took more than four prescription drugs accounted for roughly 23% of falls that led to a hospitalization. So ask your doctor whether you need to be on all medicines you use. For instance, some high blood pressure medications, often diuretics, and over-the-counter antihistamines, such as diphenhydramine, a.k.a. Benadryl, can cause symptoms that alter balance. The use of antidepressants, antipsychotics, benzodiazepines for anxiety, and sedatives should also be limited to reduce the fall risk, according to the guidance from the American Academy of Family Physicians. Benzodiazepines for anxiety include Ativan, Valium, and Xanax. Check your eyes and ears. With vision, we experience changes in depth perception and color discrimination with age, and those affect what we see and don't see in our environment, Wyatt says. Poor hearing may also pose a problem. A study published in 2012 in the Archives of Internal Medicine found that middle-aged people with only mild hearing loss had a threefold higher risk of falling. So keep up with the vision and hearing screenings that your doctor recommends, and wear glasses and hearing aids as prescribed. What do you do if you fall? If you fall, the National Institute on Aging, NIA, recommends that you take several deep breaths and remain still for a few moments. Once you're over the initial shock of falling, take inventory. Do you feel pain? Did you hit your head? If you're not in pain and don't think you've hit your head, roll over onto your side and rest a bit. This lets your body and blood pressure adjust, according to the NIA. Then slowly get up on your hands and knees, crawl to a stable chair, table, or counter. You may need to hold on to one of these objects to pull yourself up. White says, sit, and once you feel calm, call your doctor. They may want you to come in for an evaluation. If you're in pain, have hit your head, or feel dizzy, nauseous, or otherwise sick, don't move. Getting up too fast or in the wrong manner can worsen any injury. Call for help if you can. If you're alone and can't alert anyone or contact 911, you may have to crawl to a phone or door to summon assistance. Now for a total change of subject. Why the United States doesn't use the metric system? Wonder why the United States is one of three countries in the world that doesn't use the metric system? The answer may surprise you. Have you ever noticed that the standard system of measurement tends to change where it exits the United States? Clothing sizes are often measured in centimeters instead of inches. Distance is measured in kilometers or kilometers over miles. Volume is measured in liters rather than ounces. Although English is used in many countries across the globe, when it comes to measurement, it can often feel like there's a language barrier between Americans and the rest of the world. You may think that this is an overstatement. There must be some other countries that don't use the metric system, right? However, in reality, there are only three countries in the entire world that don't use the metric system, and the U.S., of course, is one of them. Considering how often America interacts with other countries about crucial measurements, it may seem strange that they have not adopted the most ubiquitous system of measurement in the world. So why doesn't the U.S. use metric system? And also find out, find out why Fahrenheit instead of Celsius. What is the metric system? For most Americans, the metric system is one of 31 things you probably never thought about. Before we can understand why the U.S. does not use the metric system, it's important that we understand what the metric system is and how it differs from the U.S. customary units. The metric system, also known as the International System of Units, SI, is a system of measurement that is built on three main units, meters, liters, and grams. Since the metric system is based on 10 system of measurements, each succeeding unit of length, mass, or volume is 10 times larger than the previous one. The names for these units are a combination of a prefix, which indicates the size of the unit, and a base, which tells you whether the unit is measuring length, mass, or volume. Still don't get it? Easy not to. Let's break it down. The metric system meters are the base unit for measuring length, which means that each preceding or succeeding unit will contain the base named meter along with a prefix that communicates its size. For context, a meter is equivalent to 3 feet 3 inches long. So a decimeter is 10 times smaller than a meter. A centimeter is 100 times smaller than a meter, and a millimeter is 1,000 times smaller than a meter. Conversely, a decameter is 10 times larger than a meter, and a hectometer is 100 times larger than a meter, and a kilometer or kilometer is 1,000 times larger than a meter. Although we could easily measure the length of a football field in meters, it would not make as much sense to measure the length of a computer in meters. Since a computer is less than 1 meter long, we would use a smaller metric unit, such as centimeters or millimeters, to express its length. The same rules apply when measuring the mass and volume of matter, using grams and liters respectively. What are the U.S. customary units? Now that we've established how the metric system works, it's important to understand the difference between the metric system and the U.S. customary units. While the U.S. system also measures length, mass, and volume, it uses an entirely different set of units than the metric system. Plus, unlike the metric system, U.S. customary units do not follow a base system of measurement. Instead, when measuring the volume of a liquid using U.S. customary units, we use fluid ounces, cups, pints, quarts, and gallons, with fluid ounces being the smallest unit of measurement volume and gallons being the largest unit of measuring volume, respectively. 1 gallon is equal to 4 quarts, which is equal to 8 pints, which is equal to 16 cups, which is equal to 128 fluid ounces. Simple, right? Since there are no base real rule for U.S. customary units, volume, mass, and distance are all measured differently under this system. The U.S. customary units for measuring the mass of an object are ounces, pounds, and tons. In this category of measurement, the smallest unit of mass is an ounce, the next smallest unit is a pound, and the largest unit of mass is a ton. Specifically, 1 pound is equal to 16 ounces, and 1 ton is equal to 2,000 pounds, and 1 ton is also equal to 32,000 ounces. The last type of measurement of the U.S. customary units is length, which is measured in inches, feet, yards, and miles. Under this system, the smallest unit of length is inches, and the largest unit of length is miles, respectively. Since this is arguably the most commonly used measurement in everyday life, most U.S. residents know that there are 12 inches in 1 foot, 3 feet in 1 yard, and 1,760 yards in 1 mile. Bottom line, despite the fact that both systems of measurement have exactly the same purpose, U.S. customary units are entirely different from the metric system. Never learned this difference in school? As of today, the entire world has adopted the metric system with the exception of the United States, Myanmar, and Liberia. Given the fact that it's time-consuming and tedious to translate between U.S. customary units and the metric system, having two competing systems is not ideal for global communications and cooperation. So why didn't the U.S. use the metric system? Surprisingly, the answer actually dates back to the 1700s. In 1790, France conceived the metric system as a means of streamlining commerce, reducing fraud, and clearing up the general confusion that permeated the country in the absence of a standard system of measurement. The first step in creating this system was setting a universal guide for measuring a meter. Since the French scientists wanted to be as precise as possible and enable others to emulate their process, they decided to derive the measurements from the Earth's circumference, a well-known dimension at the time. To do this, the scientists selected a longitudinal segment of the Earth that ran between the northern and southern parts of France and carefully divided to create the meter. The resulting measurement system, which is now known as the metric system, was extremely innovative and attractive to the international community. However, since the metric system was rooted in a portion of French land, the United States decided not to adopt this system. In the 19th century, as the rest of the world began to accept the metric system, the U.S. Congress proposed that the country transition toward this international system as well. However, at this point in time, American industrialists had already stocked their factories with equipment that was based on U.S. customary units. To prevent a costly overhaul of their equipment, these industrialists used their influence to stop Congress from adopting the metric system throughout the 19th and 20th centuries. Today, America still teaches U.S. customary units in schools, although many scientists and organizations have submitted to the ease of the international used metric system. America's dedication to the U.S. customary units is not the only convention that country held on throughout the years. A show that many of us like and enjoy watching has been in the news a lot lately, and that's Jeopardy. And while Jeopardy may be fun to watch, you can't help but feel for the contestants when they get hit with those brain-busting Final Jeopardy answers questions. And here's one. It's the only country that borders both the Caspian Sea and the Persian Gulf. By the way, this is the Final Jeopardy, 14 Final Jeopardy questions everybody got wrong. It's the only country that borders both the Caspian Sea and the Persian Gulf. The category was Asian geography. Clue. It's the only country that borders both the Caspian Sea and the Persian Gulf. Correct response was Iran. On October 12, 2017, the winner of the Final Jeopardy came out on top with a grand total of $1, while his two opponents round up with zero. But here's what's really crazy. The losers, non-winners in Jeopardy parlance, with home with more money than the winner. That's because, according to the show's rules, the contestant with the largest monthly total money total at the end of Final Jeopardy goes home with that amount of money, while the second and third place contestants get consolation prizes of $2,000 and $1,000, respectively. This clue is the Final Jeopardy that yielded such upside-down results. In 1937, his sister said he had hats of every description, which we'd use as a foundation of his next book. And the category here is authors. Correct response, Dr. Seuss. These Alex Trebek... Oh, sorry, never mind that. Something different. I'm reading this off a computer, so there's certain inserts in here that I have to skip automatically. He came to power 34 days before FDR and left him 19 days after. And what is the answer? Adolf Hitler. Category 2014 Newsmaker. Both making news in June, these two Davids with similar names are LeBron's new coach and Eric Cantor's conqueror. Correct response, David Blatt and David Bratt. You think you'd be able to get these Final Jeopardy answers great and want to be on Jeopardy? Good luck. Category Historical Figures. A 2012 by Britain's National Army Museum voted this man born in 1732 as the greatest military enemy. George Washington. Jeopardy's host, I'm sorry, that was the answer, was George Washington. Category, sports figures. Clue, he was featured on the September 22nd, 1947 cover of Time with the caption, "He and his boss took a chance." The correct response was Jackie Robinson. And if you don't know why, he was the first black major league ball player. Category, wordplay. Clue, subtract a letter from the name of a keystroke found in computer commands, and you get this violent reaction to social change. The correct response, what is backlash? Comes from backslash. Coats of arms was the category. Clue, this country's coat of arms features a palm tree and a 19th century American sailing ship. And the correct response, Liberia. Category, French food history. A popular product was born when Jean Nigon of this city substituted the juice of unripe grapes for vinegar. And the correct response was Dijon. Tony nominations. Although she has appeared in only two Broadway musicals, he got Tony nominations for both in 1962 and 1964. And the correct response? Barbara Streisand. Category was inventions. This machine was invented in 1929. The government began buying them to help prevent any more of a series of Army and Air Corps fatalities. And the correct response is the flight simulator. Category, U.S. government. Clue, on August 15, 1994, 59 years and one day after FDR signed the original act, Bill Clinton made this an independent agency. And the correct response was, what is the Social Security Administration? Which many of us depend on. Category, 21st Century Thought. The title subject of a 2007 bestseller, it was discovered in Australia, where today it's the state emblem. And the correct response, the Black Swan. This Brit is the only actor to get an Oscar nomination for playing two real-life U.S. presidents, both for 1990 films. And the correct answer was, who was Anthony Hopkins? Category, hymns. Finally, here's one of the Final Jeopardy questions we're almost glad the contestants got wrong, because one of the guests' response shielded a hilarious response from Alex and the audience. I'm sorry, we just had a computer problem. That was weird. The computer just did some weird stuff. Clue. A Christian hymn and a Jewish holiday hymn are both titled this. It's also the name of a 2009 Tony-nominated musical. Funniest guess ever for contestant? Chayan Majigar. What is Kinky Boots? The correct answer, of course, is Rock of Ages. Now, here's something for all you ladies out there. 12 items you shouldn't carry in your purse. If you've been dragging these items around, it might be time to clean out your handbag. Passwords. If you have trouble remembering passwords, you might be tempted to carry them with you in your bag. Some people feel passwords are safer in their bag than at home because it's always on them. But nothing could be further from the truth, says Eva Velasquez, CEO and president of Identity Theft Resource Center. You're much more apt to lose your purse or wallet than have a break-in. Memorizing all your login information is the safest, But if that's not practical, she recommends storing your passwords in a passcode-protective smartphone app. Debit card. Without the same protections as credit cards, debit cards put you at a higher risk when making purchases. I'm not a huge fan of always having a debit card with you because the cash disappears from your account and you have to prove it was you before you get it back, unlike a credit card, where you can stop the charges and the money never leaves your account, says John Celio, CEO of Cybersecurity Group, Celio Group. Swipe a credit card for most purchases and use an ATM-only card with a PIN to get cash. Laptop. A computer is probably the heaviest thing in your bag. The weight of a laptop can strain your shoulder, causing imbalanced posture, even neck, spine, and shoulder injuries, says Stephen Shoshone, MD of NYC Chiropractic. If you need to have your laptop on hand, use a messenger bag or a backpack, which will distribute the weight more evenly. Receipts. A crook won't be able to steal your identity with receipts alone, but tearing them with other documents could make it easier to pretend to be you. It's giving a thief a great picture of who you are and where you shop, Velasquez says. All fraud analytics look for anomalies in behavior, and your receipts show where you shop. With your old receipts, a thief might be able to make more purchases before you can cancel the card, so empty it from your bag once you're home. Unprotected phone. Lots of Americans think their smartphone is a phone instead of a mobile computer that happens to make calls, Celio says. Leaving your phone unprotected makes it easy for strangers to access any information you have stored in your apps. Even a four-digit password can be easy for thieves to crack, so use a longer code or log in using fingerprints, face, or voice recognition. Umbrella. You might be prepared for that 30% chance of rain, but a bulky umbrella adds unnecessary weight. Keep an umbrella in your car or keep one at work and one at home, Shoshone says. Checkbook. Depending on your bank, getting your money back from check fraud could take anywhere from a day to 4 months, Celio says. He recommends finding an alternative way to pay because checks are so easy to steal. If you can't bear to give up check writing, just keep just a couple checks in your bag, not the whole book. Full-size beauty products. Don't weigh down your back by lugging around big bottles of hairspray. Over time, the repetitive strain of that added weight can start pulling your shoulder out. Shoshone says, downsize from full sizes to travel size to lighten the load. Work badges. Giving a stranger access to your workplace could cause major problems in your job, Celio says. Have a separate bag for the weekend or take your work ID out when you leave the office. Gift cards. Like cash, you won't get gift cards back if you lose them, so keep them with you only if you plan to use in the store, Celio says. If you're afraid you'll forget them when you get around to shopping there, leave gift cards in your car and disguise container like an Altoids tin, he says. Social Security number. Your Social Security number is the critical piece of information a thief needs to carry out identity theft, Velasquez says. Unless you need a copy for a new employer, leave your Social Security at home in a secure place. And equally important, your passport. Because passports are hard to forge, a real one will be accepted more easily than other stolen documents, Velasquez. Only carry it if it's your primary identifier, although Vasquez recommends getting a state ID instead. Okay, now for a giggler. 13 baby names have been banned around the world. Sure, every parent wants their kid to stand out, and boy, we sure see that in Hollywood, don't we? But these parents definitely took it a little too far. What's in a name? Every country in the world has slightly different laws when it comes to what names you can and can't legally give your offspring. These 13 sets of parents ran afoul of their nation's government with their wacky, cringeworthy, and even untranslatable name choices. Messiah, United States. Well, sort of. For better or worse, the U.S. is very, very lenient when it comes to baby names. I mean, just look at Hollywood. Unlike many other nations, baby naming regulations vary by state. Some states, yes, only some, forbid using obscenities. Other states ban the use of numerals in baby names. Kentucky, meanwhile, has no regulation whatsoever. One particular controversial baby naming case occurred in 2013 when a Tennessee judge ruled that a woman couldn't name their baby Messiah, saying that that name should belong to Christ alone. But the ruling was overturned. There are no official laws banning religiously affiliated names, and a chancery court determined that the goods shouldn't make decisions based on religion biases. Nutella, France. Hey, we love Nutella just as much as anyone. But naming your child after it seems a little extreme. The The two French parents claimed that they'd chosen the name because they hoped that their daughter would be sweet and popular, just like the chocolate hazelnut spread. French lawmakers, however, weren't having it. One judge claimed that the name was contrary to the child's interest because it would only lead to mockery and disobliging remarks. They ruled that the parents had to change their name to Ella. RoboCop, Mexico. That's funny. Sonora, a state in northwestern Mexico, has a long list of specific baby names that parents cannot give their children. In 2014, the state released a list of 61 forbidden names in hopes of protecting children from being bullied because of their name. And many of the names came straight from newborn registries. So most names on the list had already been bestowed on an unlucky child, and the government felt the need to stop the moniker madness. While the legislation is unable to change the existing names of children, it spares future children from being named after the cinematic cyborg police officers. Other names on the list include Facebook, Batname, and Panties. Panties, really? Chow Tow, Smellyhead, Malaysia. The Malaysian phrase meaning smellyhead sounds more like a taunt from bullies than a given name from your parents. And yet one Malaysian couple inexplicably seemed to think that it would make a good name. Fortunately, the Malaysian government did not agree. In 2006, this ridiculous moniker made a list of forbidden names released by the Malaysian National Registration Department. The reason of the list was spurred by an increasing number of Malaysian citizens applying to change their names. New Zealand. Talula does the hula from Hawaii. Talula for short, maybe? In 2008, a 9-year-old New Zealand girl became the ward of the court after a judge determined that her absurd name was basically child abuse. According to her lawyer, she had been going by Kay, refusing to tell her classmates her real name for fear of being teased. The court assumed guardianship of the girl and allowed her to change her name. Can you believe that? Talula does hula from Hawaii. Cyanide in England. Like the United States, England doesn't have too many laws about baby naming. But when a British mother tried to name her daughter after this well-known poison, the court decided to step in. The judge who made the ruling claimed that in England, the court would forget a parent's name choice in only the most extreme cases. Apparently, this particular naming offense constituted that. IKEA in Australia. The land down under also has few stipulations when it comes to names. The names can't be obscene or offensive, they say, can't be contrary to the public interest, and they can't be established by repute or usage. It's this last rule that prohibits Aussies from naming their children after the famous furniture retailer. The name of a public institution counts as established, and it turns out that naming your child IKEA has been prohibited in Sweden as well. So even in the country where it originated, you can't name your child after IKEA. And I can't pronounce this because what it is about 42 consonants with no vowels. Sweden. A Swedish couple tried to give the son this whopper of a moniker in 1996. They claimed that the 43-character-long letter and number jumble was to be pronounced Albin, which is a relatively common Scandinavian name. It was meant to be a direct protest of the country's fairly strict naming laws. We're not sure what they expected to accomplish with this protest, since the Swedish government immediately enforced those very laws and insisted that they choose a different name. China. You can't name your child China. Naming a baby boy after a computer keyboard symbol. Oh, wait a second. I'm sorry. It was the asterisk. Might seem like the wackiest examples on this list, but these parents actually did have a valid reason. Somewhat. In China, people call the Simus Aita, which sounds very simple to Chinese friend him, love him. Whether you think that's cringeworthy or kind of sweet, China's ban on names containing symbols forbade it from sticking. That's interesting. New Zealand. Period. This name, if you can even call it that, would have been pronounced full stop if these New Zealand parents had gotten their way. However, the government rejected it, adding to their list of banned baby names. And in Denmark, you can't use the name monkey. Instead of having banned baby names list, Denmark has an approved baby names list containing about 7,000 names. If you live in Denmark and want to choose a name that's not on your list, you must get a government official's approval. Needless to say, monkey does not make the approved baby names list. But that didn't stop a couple of Danish parents from trying. And in Iceland, Harriet / Duncan. Iceland is another nation notoriously strict naming laws. Names in Iceland may be outlawed if they cannot be conjugated in Iceland or include letters that Icelandic alphabet doesn't have an equivalent for. One pair of parents learned this the hard way when they named their daughter Harriet, a name which can't be conjugated in Icelandic. The poor parent stuck out again when they named their son Duncan. The Icelandic alphabet has no equivalent for the letter C. They had to get passports for their children with the names girl and boy instead of their real names. And that's kind of interesting because Iceland just recently changed the law, I read, where they no longer have to do things like Ingrid's daughter or Hondald's son. They're able to use real names instead of those. And in Morocco, you can't use the name Sarah. What could possibly be wrong with Sarah? Well, in Morocco, names must reflect Moroccan identity. Sarah with an H, by the way, that's how it's spelled, S-A-R-A-H, is the Hebrew spelling of the name. The Arabic spelling, Sarah, S-A-R-A, however, is perfectly legal. And with that, we're going to switch over to Consumer Reports. And the first thing we're going to do is recalls. Ford Transit Connect vans. Ford is recalling more than 192,000 Transit Connect vans from the 2013 through the 2021 model because a faulty part in the transmission could allow the vehicles to roll away even though the shifter appears to be in park. Ooh, that's dangerous. The problem is with the connection between the shifter cable and the transmission. If the connection fails, it would be possible to turn off the engine and exit the vehicle with no warning messages or chimes indicating that the vehicle is not in park. If this happens, the vehicle is at risk of rolling away. Ford shares its wide array of any crashes or injuries related to the recall. Ford's number for this recall is 21S24. What to do? Owners can call Ford at 866-436-7332. Ford dealerships will replace the faulty part and add a protective cable free of charge. HSN Clothing Steever. HSN is recalling about 5.4 million Joy In branded My Little Steamer and My Little Steamer Go Mini handheld clothing steamers due to reports of hot water spraying or leaking from the steamers causing burn injuries. The recalled models have either flat or triangular steamer head, and the name of the product is printed on its side. The products were sold online at hsn.com and at the HSN television network. They were also sold in stores nationwide and at various retailers including Amazon, Bed Bath & Beyond, Lowe's, Target, and Walmart from January 2002 through December 2020 for $10 to $30 individually and $20 to $50 in combination sets. Stop using the steamers and call HSN at 855-654-0942 for information on a full refund for units purchased from January 2018 to December 2020, a partial refund for units purchased from January 2015 until December 2015, and a voucher for units purchased before January 2015. That's interesting. I've never seen that kind of qualification before. Mainstay folding chairs and bar stools. Cheyenne Products is recalling about 800,000 Mainstay metal folding chairs and bar stools with padded seats due to reports of the weld that connects the legs at the bottom of the chair breaking, resulting in injuries including fractures. A white sticker label on the bottom of the seats includes the name Cheyenne Products or Cheyenne Industries and lists the product date by month and year. The chairs and bolsters were sold at Walmart stores nationwide and Walmart.com from January 2014 to April 2021 for $30 to $42. Stop using the chairs and bar stools. Call Cheyenne at 833-351-1707 or go to CheyenneProducts.com and click on Recalls for more info and a complete listing of recalled styles. Wild Republic Watches. Can-Am International is recalling about 463,000 Wild Republic Slap Watches due to the risk of chilling, ingesting, or cooking on the watch's coin cell battery. There are 42 models that come in various colors and watch face designs. The back of the watch has K&M on it. The watches were sold at Cole Imports at many zoos, museums, and aquariums, and online at wildrepublic.com, Amazon, and pulicascore.com, March 2018 through April 21, for about $8. What to do? Take the watch away from the children, first of all. For a full refund, call Wild Republic at 800-800-9678. Yes, that's two 800s. Or go to wildrepublic.com and click on Safety Recall. Bontrager Bicycle Pedals. Trek is calling about 317,000 Bontrager Satellite City pedals because of reports of pedals loosening, locking up, or falling off. The pedals were installed as all-original record on Trek, Allant, Dual Sport, FX2, FX3, Verve, Verve 3, and Verve Plus bicycles. ZTRO2 is stamped on the pedal. The pedals were sold on bikes at Trek bicycle stores and other bicycle stores nationwide and online at Trek Bikes from January 2018 through April 2021. The pedals were also sold separately for about $30. Stop using the pedals and call Trek at 800-373-4594 or go to trekbikes.com for more information. Better internet for less money. For the past 18 months, our home internet connections have helped us reach family, friends, and colleagues. They've been both practical tools and a needed source of entertainment during a difficult time. That may be why 76% of Americans agree that internet service is as important as electricity or water, according to a February National Representative Consumer Report survey of 2,514 U.S. adults. But using the internet at home can be frustrating, too, as we confront dropped video calls and sputtering movies, along with confusing bills and poor customer service. The good news is that some broadband problems are easy to fix. The following pages can help you do that and maybe even help you save a bit of money. Looking ahead, Consumer Reports is working to make internet access better and safer for all of us. If the internet is glitchy in your home, the first step toward a solution is to pinpoint the problem. And it helps to understand how long my material, be it a Netflix show, Zoom call, or social media post, gets to you. As you can see in the other, well, you can't see that in the lower section, other email, about movies, email, and other data are funneled by your internet service through a provider, through a series of cables and wires to your home. If something's not working, the problem could lie outside your home and may require a call to the company for a fix. Or the trouble could be with your in-home Wi-Fi network, which distributes information wirelessly to your computers, TVs, and other devices. Which is it? To figure that out, an easy first step is to test your internet speed. How to test your speed? It's useful to know how fast data moves into and out of your home. To find out, go to Speed Measurement Lab, speed.measurement.lab.net, or speedtest.net. With a click or two, you'll learn to download speed, how fast data such as movie streams into your home, and your upload speed, how fast data like your end of a Zoom call streams out. The numbers measured in megabits per second, MBPS, will vary a bit each time. If possible, first run a test with a computer that's physically plugged into your router using an Ethernet cord. If the result is much slower than the maximum speeds promoted by the ISP, call the company. Then do the same to test wirelessly throughout the house. If it's only the Wi-Fi speeds that are slow, the focus on your router to find a solution. Is your surface level fast enough? ISPs generally offer several plans, each promising a different range of speed. The faster the connection, the more you pay. So which plan is right for you? It depends on how many people you have at home and what they do online. You need only around 1 megabytes per second to listen to a Spotify song and 4 Mbps for a Zoom call, but 25 megabytes per second to watch a 4K movie on Netflix. The numbers are cumulative. If two TVs are streaming 4K movies, that's 50 megabytes per second. Every ISP has its own tiers, but you can use the speed ranges to see where you fit in. Many people may pay for more speed than they really need. 300 plus megabytes per second. Few households need more than 300 megabytes. If you have internet problems, the solution is probably not to slap down the plastic for your ISP prices service, super fast service. 100 to 300 megabytes per second. These speeds should accommodate even a data-hogging family that plays 4K and Ultra HD movies and taxing online games all at the same time. And up to 100 megabytes per second. This is plenty for two or three people with routine needs. That includes Zoom calls, high-definition movie viewing, and some online gameplay. And there's an explanation of the way data speeds or crawls into your home. Every photo, video, and word you see online passes through your local ISP, and the cables between you and largely determine the quality of internet service for your neighborhood. Your connection. What wiring bridges the final gap to your home? If it's a fiber optic or a cable connection, you may enjoy fast speeds. But millions of Americans still rely on slow DSL connectors that use legacy phone lines. Fast and skinny pipes. Rivers of data flow into and out of ISPs via local nodes linked to branches that provide internet services to homes. Snarled traffic. Your connection slows at a certain times of day. It could be because your neighbors are all online too. An internet space race. Amazon and SpaceX are developing low orbital satellite systems that can deliver high-speed internet service around the world. Make your Wi-Fi better. Let's say you've signed up for the right internet service tier and your speed testing confirms that your ISP truly is delivering the speeds it has promised. If your internet service is still acting finicky, the problem is likely to lie within your Wi-Fi network. You can probably fix things by fiddling with the equipment in your home. Sierra Experts tips will help. How Wi-Fi links your gadgets, data, mails, music, movie, etc. gets to your home through a physical cable or a wire. Within your home, it typically moves through the air between your router and all your connected devices. Setting up your router in a central location can help your Wi-Fi network cover your entire home. Connected homes. U.S. households have an average of 25 connected devices, everything from TV to door locks, according to a 2021 Deloitte survey. The stumbling blocks. Amid many objects that interfere with a Wi-Fi network are masonry walls, fish tanks, and microwave ovens. Mesh routers can help move the signal around the objects. And it shows a picture here of somebody's refrigerator, the tablet next to the sink, the doorbell, the TV, the radio, looks like some sort of a stereo system, clock by the bed, the Roomba carpet doing the carpeting. So how do you do that? First of all, move your router. Tempting though it may be, your router from public view, exiling it to a cabinet or the outskirts of your home can hinder performance. That forces the Wi-Fi signal to pass through more walls and other barriers and to cover longer distances to reach every corner of the house. Plus, place the router out in the open, away from corners, and high in the room. The signal tends to be stronger below the router than above it. Also, locate the router as close as possible to the middle of your home. You may be able to move it yourself, or you might need some help from your ISP or a handy friend. Use an Ethernet cord. If you've ever had a movie night derailed by a sputtering Wi-Fi, you know the feeling, major letdown. Need a more stable signal? A $10 or $20 Ethernet cable can save the day linking TV, streaming video box, or video game console directly to your router. Set up a Wi-Fi extender. Need to push a Wi-Fi signal to a little deeper into your home? A $30 palm-sized Wi-Fi range extender could be the answer. Plug it into an outlet midway between your router and, say, the company reading chair in your bedroom, and it stretches the signal. There's a catch, however. That extended signal can be only half as fast as the rest of your Wi-Fi network, making this a great fix for emails, but maybe not movies. Invest in a mesh router. If you're looking to improve Wi-Fi coverage throughout your home, a mesh router system may be the way to go. Unlike a traditional router, which toils away on its own, a mesh router uses multiple units, a hub and one or two satellites that work together to spread the Wi-Fi network from one end of your abode to the other. If there's a dead zone in the den, you can move the satellites around to eliminate it. You can also add satellites to broaden the network's reach. Mesh routers used to cost up to $500, but prices have fallen in the past 15 months. You can now find highly rated three-piece models for less than $200. And join the drive for Internet Fair, and this is for all of us. Sierra is working to make high-speed Internet accessible to more Americans, and we need your help. Tens of millions of America lack access to the kind of fast Internet that's needed, now more than ever, for school, work, and staying in touch with family and friends. Still more are stuck with painfully slower or unreliable connections or bills they can't afford. So CR and a cotillion of partners are launching a broadband affordability initiative, asking consumers to take an Internet speed test, respond to a short questionnaire, and send us a copy of their Internet bill. The information we gather will help us learn how much people are paying in neighborhoods across the country, whether they're getting what they were promised, and whether the prices are fair. We need thousands of participants. That's a tall order, but the result can help us pressure Internet companies to do better. Just about everyone agrees that Internet service is crucial to daily life, but it's hard to place a real price on it. Is $50 per month reasonable for a connection that often lets you down? Can you avoid any of the fees on your bill? And why are the bills so hard to understand? Here are some concrete tips for saving money while getting the service you want. Negotiate a better deal. As surveys of CR members have confirmed time and again, it pays to haggle, but it takes skill to deal with an Internet service provider, especially in a community with only one or two viable options. So we asked Ben Kirkland, co-founder of the negotiating service Bill Fixers, for advice. Most of what goes into getting a discount is just asking for it, he says. Here are his expert's tips. Call on a weekday. That's when the other customers are busy at work. You'll get shorter hold times and higher level reps with the best discount codes. Don't be too quick to say yes. Reps will give you the worst offers first, Kirkland said. Turn those down and then move on to the better deals. Number three, avoid online chat tools. At most, companies have the live wire chat reps are lower on the ladder than the phone reps and can't provide the big discounts. Number four, threaten to go to a competitor or cut your TV or phone service. That gets your call elevated right away to a rep with the clout to do what it takes to keep you. Curlin says, if there's only one ISP in your area, that may reduce your leverage. But if you're trying to get a better bundle to deal with a TV and or phone service, your ISP has plenty of competition from mobile and video streaming companies. Get in writing. When you're satisfied with the rate, ask the customer service rep to send an email outlining the agreement. If the ISP doesn't follow through on the plan, you've got a backup. Dodge those extra fees. Internet fees that often surprise consumers include charges for installation and activation, renting a router or modem, and an extra hit if you decide to leave your contract early. But some of those are avoidable. For instance, ISPs charge an average $70.38 for installation. But AT&T, Spectrum, owned by Charter, Infinity, Comcast, and others often offer self-installation kits for an average of $9.30. According to the Open Technology Institute, a research organization, you can also save long-term by buying a router and modem rather than renting them from your provider. But you have to make sure the modem is compatible with your ISP, and it might stop working if you switch to another service. And getting cell service from your ISP. In the past few years, more than 5 million people have started to get their cellular service from the same company that provides their internet service, Altice, Spectrum, or Xfinity. Why? Cheaper rates. Bye-bye cable TV? Maybe. Millions of people have cut the pay cord, getting rid of a cable or satellite package while keeping their internet service. They rely on streaming services such as Hulu and Netflix for entertainment. It used to be a surefire way to save money, but streaming services prices have been climbing. Also, cord cutters may find that it's tricky to get all the shows they want. Here's how to figure it all out. If you have a TV internet bundle, ask what you pay for internet alone. Number two, list all the channels your family wants, including local affiliates, ABC, PBS, etc., cable options, Bravo, HGTV, and a premium one such as HBO. See whether you can get some channels with an indoor antenna. FCC.gov has a map, but receptions may vary, so you know the return policy before you buy an antenna. Also, check out Locast, L-O-C-A-S-T, too. The nonprofit streams TV over the web in some areas for a $5 per month donation. Number four, if antennas and Locast don't work where you live, consider a cable replacement service, Hulu plus Live TV, Sling TV, or YouTube TV. It will provide regular channels, including various local options. Prices start at roughly $35 to $85 per month. Number five, skip live channels altogether. You can get several streaming services, such as Disney and HBO Max, for much less than a cable package, and you might already subscribe to some. Number six, make sure your TV is equipped for streaming. If it's not a smart TV, you'll need a streaming device such as Apple TV or Roku. Number seven, once you do the math, you may find that cord cutting won't save you money, but it might give you a better selection of entertainment. Either way, you now have the information to make a smart decision. The rise of data caps. Many cell phone plans have data caps limiting how much music, video, and video streaming a family can enjoy without incurring extra fees. Caps are becoming more common in internet plans, too. Many fiber and cable-based ISPs that impose these caps set them at 1.25 terabytes of data, but for DSL and satellite plans, just 150 gigabytes is fairly common. If you exceed the cap, you charge an overage fee, and your connection is throttled, meaning you have much slower service until month's end, or you can pay more for an unlimited plan. Streaming a two-hour 4K movie resumes up to 14 gigabytes of data, so ITB or 1,000 GB may seem like a lot, but data usage is rising fast. In April, Charter CEO Thomas Rushley told investors that almost 20% of Spectrum's broadband-only customers now reach or exceed that threshold. Charter owns Spectrum. And AT&T, Comcast, Cox, and other ISPs suspended some caps during the pandemic, but they've begun to restore them. People could soon pay more because they go over the limit. They opt for an unlimited plan. And broadband blues. As our ratings show, CR members tend to be unimpressed by the value, reliability, and speed of their internet provider. Sonar, Sonic, and Google Fiber got fairly high ratings of 80s. Wave, Sparklight, Midco, RCN, WOW all got 70. Verizon, Cincinnati Bell, and TDS got 68s. Comcast, Charter, Atlantic Broadband, Cox Communications, Earthlink, AT&T, CenturyLink, Consolidated Communications, Optum by Altice, all got in the mid-60s. Medcom got the low 60s. Dish Network got 58. Windstream got 58. Frontier Communications got 57. Suddenlink Communications, 56. Viasat, 51. And Usenet got 46. And the value on all of those but the top two was the worst possible thing it could get. Road Report. Should you buy a dealership loaner car? Dealers often end up selling the cars they set aside as loaner for customers who need to leave their vehicles overnight for repair. We think it's okay to buy one of these used cars as long as you take some precautions. Remaking an inspection from an independent mechanic and avoiding any used cars with signs of extreme wear, such as average annual mileage of more than 15,000. The sale price on a loaner will likely be lower than a regular used car of the same make and model year. There can be substantial cost savings, says John Ibbotson, CR's Chief Automotive Services Manager. Just make sure the dealership fixes anything that's wrong before signing the paperwork. How to find the ride to rental right now, which is becoming a big issue. Travel demand is surging as COVID-19 restrictions ease, according to AAA. But a shortage of new cars due to a microchip supply distribution has prevented car rental companies from restocking their fleets, leading to a tight supply and higher prices. Hertz says it expects the situation to last at least through this summer. If you need a rental car, CR has tips. Book and pay as soon as you can, even up to 6 months in advance. To lock in a rate, avoid airports and try other locations, and consider services like Turo or DriveShare, where people offer their personal vehicles for rent. First Drive, Nissan Pathfinder. The redesigned 2022 Pathfinder is a user-friendly, highly functional SUV. It's generally sized, three-row cabin seats up to eight, and can fit three child safety seats in the second row. The 284-horsepower, 3.5-liter V6 engine is paired with a smooth-shifting, nine-speed automatic transmission. The ride is supple and controlled, and handling is responsive due to limited body lean and fairly quick steering. CR's take. Our rented platinum trim Pathfinder was a big step up from the lackluster previous generation. We'll buy the more popular SL trim and put it through our full testing. The price range goes from $33,400 to $48,000. Destination charge is $1,150, and price on as driven was $51,000. Vital statistics, 38. The number of states where self-driving test vehicles are allowed on public roads. Given the rest of the public, CR wants a strong safety standards for these particular vehicles. And a recall. Mercedes-Benz, of all people, is recalling about 340,000 coupes, convertibles, sedans, and SUVs from the 2019 to 2021 model years because of faulty software that may prevent backup camera videos from displaying. Customers have reported that when they put their vehicles in reverse, the display remained blank. That creates an increased risk of backing over a person or another object. What to do? Mercedes-Benz will update the multimedia infotainment system in affected vehicles if we're over the air at a dealership at no cost to the owners. For more information, call customer service at 800-367-6372. What's next in car safety? Bright headlights that don't shine in other drivers' eyes, sensors that can see children left behind in hot cars. These are just two life-saving innovations coming soon to a dealership near you. In the not-too-distant past, advances in car safety focused on keeping drivers and passengers protected in a crash. Today, vehicles go a step beyond, using cameras, radar, and computing power to prevent crashes and other tragedies from happening in the first place. As a result, modern safety systems protect not only those inside the vehicle, but also other drivers, pedestrians, and cyclists. Features such as automatic braking system, AEB, and blind spot warning, BSW, are already preventing crashes, but we're only starting to realize the benefits of how technology can make roads safer, says Jake Fisher, Senior Director of CR's Auto Test Center. Soon, more powerful processors and sensors will usher in the next generation of safety advances, which will go even further to save lives and prevent injuries. Cars are benefiting from the explosion in computer processing power, and automakers are using that technology to make cars smarter and safer, Fisher says. It's also likely that new safety features will become more commonplace on vehicles as new federal policies encourage automakers to install them on vehicles they sell. CR has tried early visions of many of these emerging features, and we're confident they will prevent crashes. These technologies can help us eventually get to a point where road fatalities are a thing of the past. And we're going to hit a couple of these, but we'll finish up next week. See with computer vision when it's coming. Some vehicles sold in Europe already have versions of augmented reality displays. We expect similar features in the U.S. scene, And there's a scene where it shows a display that shows a turning intersection, a pedestrian to the right, the number of miles of speed limit at the current miles, and the amount of fuel and percentage left, and the temperature. What it is, augmented reality is designed to blend human and computer vision, projecting 3-day holographic animations into the driver's field of view to show exactly where navigation says to turn, highlight a pedestrian waiting to cross, or warn of a stopped car, among other things. And actually, some cars already have this. How it works, the technology is currently developed by multiple automakers and suppliers such as Continental, GM, and Panasonic. It will use a head-up display that can track a driver's eye movement to ensure that vital information is projected into their line of sight no matter where they look or how far they sit from the steering wheel. In its research of its own prototype system paired with automatic driving, Continental says it found that drivers are quicker to react to augmented reality warnings than to the usual chimes and dashboard lights alone. CR's take, we like it. These systems put vital information in the driver's sight and don't direct their eyes away from the road like standard gauges and other visual warnings, says Kelly Funkhauer, CR's program manager for vehicle interface testing. And how about some life in these United States to close things out? When my 5-year-old came home from his very first day of kindergarten, I excitedly asked, "So how was your first day of school?" Dropping his backpack, he said, "Well, I'll tell you one thing, I'm never going back to that place." I was new to the South when I stopped off at a fast food restaurant. When my order arrived, I pointed out the dressing on the salad was orange rather than the ranch I'd asked for. "Oh, sorry, hon," the cook replied. "I thought you said ranch. I thought you said French." Mom, who was 94 and an avid reader, was perusing a list of new books from the public library, when she noted disappointedly, "I never see familiar authors on the list." My ever-helpful husband explained, "That's because Louisa May Alcott died years ago." My hair is not messy. It's on an adventure, my 9-year-old daughter officially kicking off her career as my spiritual advisor. Dubious claims my toddler made this week. He invented the thumbs up. Only some lizards can read. He forgot how to eat carrots. His daycare allows sharp swords. Instead of telling my husband I'm annoyed with him, I'm just going to put strawberries in a salad. My husband ticked me off, so I sent him a picture of the thermostat set to 72 degrees. And with that, we've just about run out of time for today's episode of the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Be sure to listen in next time. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. I'm Jim Cronin, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. So long until next time, and thanks so much for listening.